Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Hollywood shocker, a sequel to the season's biggest flop. Can this possibly work this time around? Meanwhile, huge news for Tampa Tom. It comes from an unlikely place, and it might just win Brady another Super Bowl. Plus, do not miss the preeminent coach of his time, Nick Saban, live on whether college football will ever be the same again. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you on a Tuesday. Starting right now, Nick Friedell is in our studio today. We tried to get him a big stack of pillows to sit on. We'll try and find them but before the show is over, and that's not all. Put together quite a squad for you today on a very busy morning. Zach Lowe's ready to go. Orlovsky's up today. Diana's got insight. And again, Nick Saban live in this hour. All that coming up. But we begin with the Home Run Derby. Nothing more fun on a Monday night in the middle of the summer. Dodgers Stadium last night. And the star of the night was Albert Pujols. The respect from all the other All-Star stars around him. He was an 8 seed going up against the top seed Kyle Schwarber. They were tied at 13 in a swing off. 30 seconds to go. Pujols gets red hot, winds up with 20 home runs, knocks out Schwarber 20-19, and the respect is shown. There's Julio Rodriguez, hit 32 in round number one. Now he's taking on the two-time defending champ, Pete Alonso, in the semifinals. It's Rodriguez getting hot again. He goes 30 plus in back-to-back rounds, 63 home runs through the first two. He knocks out the two-time defending champion Juan Soto, meanwhile, taking on Pujols in the other semifinal. We're in bonus time now. Soto, that one's high and deep. He wins it 16-15, knocking out the legend. And so the final is Rodriguez against Soto, and they are ready to go. Rodriguez batting first, getting hot in his extra time, hit several in a row. That brought his total to 16. He would finish with 18, and so that was the number to beat for Soto. He needs 19. He's early in his extra time. Soto crushing several in a row. He pulls even, so now he's just one away. Time winding down. Soto needs one more for the win, with Rodriguez anxiously looking on. That one is deep, and as they say, it's not going to be playable. He doesn't realize that he's already won it, and now he does. 19-18 is your final. Juan Soto to the victor goes the spoils, and the legend Ken Griffey Jr. there to present him with the trophy. It's Juan Soto, the second youngest player to ever win the Home Run Derby. 23 years, 266 days old, one day older than Juan Gonzalez was when he won the Derby in 93. Remember, Soto already turned down a 15-year, $440 million extension from the Nationals. On Saturday, he's eligible to become a free agent after the 2024 season. So all in all, a very busy week for a young baseball superstar. Basketball is our next stop. Could we be heading towards a Hollywood sequel? Could they remake what was the biggest flop in the sport? According to Yahoo Sports, the Lakers' big three of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook recently huddled for a phone conversation to confirm their commitment to each other through the uncertainty. That's a heck of a sentence with which to begin a conversation. Zach Lowe is there, and Nick Friedell is here. Nick, big picture, what is your reaction to the idea that these three guys got on the phone, if indeed this is the case, and said, let's figure out a way to make this work?
Good luck. Greedy, I saw this, and I went, really? This feels like the NBA's version of the alliance in college football. Hey, we're together, we're together. Oh, it doesn't work anymore. All right, we're trying to trade Russell Westbrook. I'm out of here. This whole thing feels like it was a nice storyline for three guys who already know that this doesn't work together, to think that they're going to run it back if they can't move Westbrook right now and have a lot of success next season seems laughable at this point, given what we saw a year ago.
So, Zach, when I see this news yesterday on Twitter, this report, My first reaction is, does this mean they have some information that Kyrie isn't coming? I'm sure a lot of people took it that way. What is your sense of the Kyrie of it all if these three guys are now talking about how they can make it work?
I don't think there's any information to be had. Kyrie Irving's not there. There is no trade. I'm not even sure how far along the two teams have gotten. More to the point, the Brooklyn Nets, who are actually the biggest flop of last season, this is the Lakers are the second biggest flop. Let's be clear in our flop rankings. The Brooklyn Nets actually have a much bigger piece of business to resolve before they get to Kyrie Irving, and that's obviously Kevin Durant. Look, to me, it's nice that they all got on the phone and had a conversation. They apparently couldn't have an in-person conversation when they were 94 feet away from each other in Las Vegas for Summer League, so it's cool that they got on the phone. I don't know that they have any information other than they're recognizing the reality of it's late July and nothing has changed yet, and every day we get from late July to training camp is one more day that nothing appears to be changing, so we got to make the best of it, I guess.
All right, so that's well put. So then let me rephrase the question, Fridell, or put a different way. Is there a different world in which Russell Westbrook gets traded? We've been very focused on Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving, and I've called that the potential of a basketball miracle that could befall the Lakers. Is there another one out there? Is there another trade that Russell Westbrook could wind up in the middle of?
Greeny, who wants Russell Westbrook? That's the saddest part of all if you're the Lakers. He's just not the same player he used to be. The guy that we saw all those years in Oklahoma City racing up and down the floor, playing within the framework of a team, he wasn't there last year in LA. So you could try to say, okay, well, it's an expiring deal. Well, the Lakers are going to have to add a draft pick or two. That's the holdup on this whole Kyrie thing, it seems. So I don't see any deal out there that puts Westbrook in a different place. And I think that's the reality that the Lakers are going to have to live with it as they get close to the regular season. Nobody wants this guy in his current form.
So, Zach, I guess that does bring up the question, if Westbrook is indeed back, if these three guys do come back together again, is there any reason to believe, with whatever other peripheral moves they may be able to make, any reason to believe it will be markedly better this season than it was last?
I think they could be better for sure, because I think Anthony Davis is going to have a big year. I've said before, I think everyone has gotten too low on Anthony Davis. We only remember the most recent seasons where he played 40 games and didn't shoot the jumper well. I think he's in line for a big season if he stays healthy. That said, I don't think this team is good enough to do anything serious in the West. I think they could make the playoffs, and that's about it. The West is so good at the top. This big three does not work well enough to beat those best teams. And to answer your previous question, I do think the Lakers are looking at other alternatives, Russ trades that aren't getting them Kyrie Irving. I just don't think those trades are going to net them a player good enough to close that gap between this team and the Clippers and the Nuggets and the Suns and the Warriors and on and on and on.
Okay, stay close, Zach. We have much more to get to here today, including how all of this impacts Kevin Durant, which remains the single biggest shoe by far that needs to drop. But in football, we have two pieces of news coming from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This first one is not good. Leonard Fournette has reportedly drawn the ire of his coaches after gaining considerable weight this offseason. He's listed at 228 pounds. He weighed in about 30 pounds heavier than that during mandatory minicamp, according to Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. So that, of course, is bad. This, meanwhile, is sneaky big news, and it could be really, really good. Rob Gronkowski's girlfriend, Camille Kostick, was being interviewed. She's a model, and she was at a Sports Illustrated swimsuit event, and she said this about Gronk's retirement, quote, "I'm an honest lady, and honestly, in my heart, I didn't feel like this one is a forever one. I think maybe he'll come back again." And so I had to then look down and read that after Diana Russini is the one who alerted me to it, and read that like five times and say to myself, am I missing something, or is this huge news, Diana? Is this one of the very few people in a position to know saying, no, hold everything, Gronk will come back?
Yeah, you should thank me for spending my morning looking at pictures of Camille to motivate myself to get to the gym. That's how I actually came across that quote. women know all, right? Like, Camille and Rob Gronkowski have been dating a really long time, and they have a seems to appear to a wonderful relationship. So the fact that she wasn't doing what we've seen other wives and girlfriends do in the past, which is just kind of repeat what the player says, the door's now open. But the reality is, and maybe these are personal conversations that Camille and Rob are having, you know, when it's just them. But when I spoke to sources in Tampa Bay, they shared with me that they are truly buying what Rob Gronkowski is saying. Based on his health, there is concern that Rob Gronkowski is not 100%. He knows it. The team knows it. And that's why they believe that he's actually ready to hang it up. But now I think we have to have a conversation that maybe it won't be training camp, but the possibility of seeing Gronk back with Tom Brady is actually more realistic than what we were talking about just a week ago.
We also have to have a conversation about what was just on the screen. I mean, Cindy, can we put that back there and just take a moment to let these numbers sink in? This goes back to when Brady got to Tampa, and thus so did Gronkowski get to Tampa. In the red zone, when Rob Gronkowski's on the field, Danny, Brady is 48 touchdowns and zero interceptions. Now, that's about as significant a statistic as you could ever possibly imagine. So as one wonders, well, just how important a piece of the puzzle is Gronkowski at this stage to Tampa? That seems to give the answer, Danny. What do you think?
Yeah, my thought is that for the Bucs to get back to the NFC title game, Brady's going to have to be the MVP of the NFL. I think that this was the number one offense in the NFL when it came to points per games over the last 2 years. 30 points per game, right? You just pointed out the 48 touchdowns, zero interceptions. That's the number one red zone offense. The truth about this offense is there's more questions than answers. And that's the case for the football team right now, Greeny. We just talked about Rob Gronkowski, but the real foundation of this offensive unit over the past 2 years has been the continuity of the offensive line. Two of those interior players are gone. That's 40% of your offensive line. So two offensive linemen gone, Rob Gronkowski gone, Chris Godwin going to miss significant time with the ACL. Over 33% of this offense is not going to be a part of this football team for the great majority of the season. I expect them to get into the playoffs, but there's a lot more questions than answers. You can go to the defensive side. No Ndamukong Su. Shaq Barrett, is he going to live up to what he did when he earned that contract for 2 years ago? So to sit here and think that they're a shoo-in for the NFC title game unless Brady wins MVP is silly.
That would really be something to be asking a guy at 45 years old to be the best player in the entire NFL. But who would put it past Brady to do it? All right, everybody, stay right where you are. We're just getting rolling on a very busy Tuesday morning. Coming up, Nick Saban will join us live. Will college football ever be the same again after this summer of discontent? We'll talk about it with the legendary coach. Plus, the big concern in Big D. Does Dak actually have enough weapons for the Cowboys to take the next step? We'll answer those questions and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Monday Dan just fuels the fire. Dude,
you want a piece of meat?
What's up, America? Dan Orlovsky likes to say words.
Holy fudge.
What in the flying fudge is going on?
What the heck are you talking about, dude?
I like Monday Dan, but now we got Stan Dan.
Stop doing that.
Dan is excited.
Here's the victory lap for America.
This is the last Monday I'm doing with you guys.
What is going on?
So Monday Dan has become a legendary staple on Get Up over the years. But here's the sneaky big news. He can be just as entertaining, insightful, and controversial on Tuesday mornings. So, Danny, I'm going to give you the floor as we are set now to begin training camps all across America. Give us a couple of observations that you have made and things to keep an eye on.
Well, Greeny, I know it's 90 degrees here in Connecticut, but we're going to go starting in Miami with the Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are closer to the Buffalo Bills than most people want to admit, and mainly those people in New England. They've got the same record as the Baltimore Ravens over the past years, 19 wins, 14 losses, and that's with the worst offensive line in football. They added the best left tackle in football. They added a receiver with 200 catches, 2,500 yards, and 24 touchdowns. This is a very good football team based on their defense. Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield? One of them is going to live up to their draft slot. The last time we saw a healthy Baker Mayfield, he threw for 300 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs. A full season, 27 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Sam Darnold, through the first four games last year, had 8 touchdowns and 1 turnover. One of those guys is going to put together a solid season for Carolina and live up to that top 5 draft slot that both of them had. And then to Dallas. The Cowboys are going to realize that they overestimated their perimeter weapons at wide receiver. Last year in the playoff game, Dak Prescott was 13 of 26 throwing to his wide receivers, and that was with Amari Cooper. He is no longer on their football team. Their number one, CeeDee Lamb, great talent, drops the football too much. Their number two, Michael Gallup, coming off of ACL surgery, is going to miss multiple games, probably 3 or 4. And then their number three, Jalen Tolbert, their third round draft pick, from South Alabama, did not practice much this spring because of injury. The Cowboys are going to sit back and go, uh-oh, we are not nearly as good at the wide receiver spot as we thought.
I tell you what, those were all very interesting, insightful, and reasonable takes from a Tuesday Dan. I put a pin in two of them. I want to come back to two of those as we go. But I've got Paul Feinbaum ready to go. Let's get some college football in here, Danny, and stay with me. Officials from the Big 12 told Pac-12 officials yesterday that they are no longer interested in exploring a partnership. So cross that one off the list of directions this could possibly go. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, at SEC Media Days, the commissioner Greg Sankey was talking about his continuing efforts.
There's no sense of urgency, no sense of panic. We're not just shooting for a number of affiliations that make us better. Could they be out there? I would never say they're not. I would never say that we will. We're going to be evaluating the landscape. I'm not going to speculate. And I actually am watching a lot of this activity operating around us, more so than impacting us directly.
All right, and a reminder, we'll have Nick Saban a little later in this hour, but with Danny, Paul Feinbaum, of course, is there covering all this. No one closer to the situation in the SEC and the entire media. Paul, what was your biggest takeaway from the things that Greg Sankey said yesterday?
Well, if you chisel it down, Greeny, it's all about Notre Dame. What Greg Sankey, I think, is saying is when Notre Dame decides what to do or what not to do, everyone else will react. If should Notre Dame decide right now to join the Big Ten or the SEC, it's Armageddon in college football. But sources around the sport say they are pausing. They don't have to make a decision yet. They still have several years remaining on the NBC contract. But at some point, they'll probably have to make a move unless they can mortgage a much higher fee. And if they don't move, then you're probably going to see other things less important, like the ACC perhaps looking west to try to find a way to bail themselves out from a very inferior situation.
Danny, you are one who does college games for us every single weekend. As you have sat back and watched this, what I keep calling the summer of discontent in college football, what to you is the single most important thing?
Oh, I think the Big Ten absolutely closed the gap on the SEC. Like, the SEC is the king of the castle, and they have been. They've earned that right, and it's been a pretty substantial gap. But now,
swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger?
Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
LA, they've absolutely closed the gap. I mean, the question is, what is Oklahoma without Lincoln Riley, and what is USC with? At Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley won 85% of his games. He won 4 Big 12 championships in 5 years. He went to 3 college football playoffs. That's at Oklahoma. That's not the same recruiting ground as it is in California. And we're also talking about UCLA with Chip Kelly, who went 8-4 last year, and 2 of those losses were by a field goal. I think that the Big Ten is sitting pretty right now, knowing that they've added a premier program with the premier head coach. And don't mistake this, Greeny. This is a big part of this, too. College football right now is very much so about the quarterback. And every other position that I know matters just as much, but it's about the quarterback. Very few people could recruit that position and develop it the way Lincoln Riley can. I think the Big Ten is very close to the SEC.
Well, let me come back to you then, because the commissioner said clearly yesterday, and you said it's about Notre Dame, and he said we're not going to make any moves for the sake of making moves. But who else do you think reasonably could they be looking at right now? As they've added Oklahoma and Texas. They have an eye on Notre Dame. Who else?
Well, there's some schools in the ACC, Greeny, that are very anxious, and they should be. It starts with Clemson. That's probably Nick Saban showing up right now, by the way. It starts with Clemson. And slow down out there. And after that, it's a debate. You know, who is next after Clemson? Is it Florida State? Is it Miami? Is it North Carolina? Maybe one of the Virginia schools.
Miami.
But if you're sitting there in Dabo Sweeney's shoes, you have dominated the sport, your league. You've been on the big field with Alabama, beating them twice. You don't want to play in the ACC with afterthoughts. And that's exactly where the ACC is right now. So can they get out? It's very expensive. They need partners. And they really need something else to happen, like Notre Dame going somewhere.
Danny, quickly, you threw up the U. That's what you think? You see that the U headed to the SEC?
Yeah, I agree with Paul. I don't know if I can throw up the U as well. But if I'm the SEC, I go after Miami. And that's because of who their head coach is. Mario Cristobal, he's got SEC ties. He's from down there. He recruited there. He believes in football the way the SEC does, where it's line of scrimmage game. 35-12 at Oregon. This is a coach that I think is going to finally get Miami back to sniffing what it was for those 2 decades of dominance, mainly because he can recruit his face off.
Paul, give us a quick final word.
Yeah, I think what we also saw yesterday, Greeny, was the separation of the big and the small in college football. It's about the Big Ten. It's about the SEC. And is there another conference? Could the ACC cobble a deal together with the Pac-12? Otherwise, the rest of college football is really, I hate to say it, but they're not relevant. They're not on the big stage. And with the CFP deal still in the mix, that's where Notre Dame is looking. Notre Dame has to have a piece of that. But everybody else is playing for third, fourth, and fifth place. They're not important anymore.
Yeah.
It is a time of enormous change. We will see where it all takes us. And again, a reminder, we'll have Nick Saban coming up later in this hour. Paul, thank you so much for jumping in. We'll look forward to your coverage of SEC Media Days all day. In the meantime, as we continue, it's been nearly 3 weeks since Kevin Durant's trade demand. No deal yet. Should KD consider changing his mind and staying in Brooklyn? We will see. And one more reminder, Nick Saban is coming up live in this hour as we discuss all of the machinations around the sport he has dominated for a generation. He's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
At NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We're back on Get Up. Nick Friedel's in our studio. Let's play a little game called Right or Wrong. Nick, here we go. If I said Donovan Mitchell would make the Knicks a playoff team, is that right or wrong?
Greeny, that's right, but where are they going? I feel like if you give up all your draft capital for Donovan Mitchell, you are signing your life away for a second-round exit. Tibbs will get him to play hard. That team will be pretty solid with Jalen Brunson, but that team is not built with him at the top to win a title.
So it's a little bit right and a little bit wrong if I'm reading you correctly. Next up is the Lakers. If I said they need to trade for Kyrie to contend, would that be right or wrong?
I can't even believe I'm saying this given what a complete mess Kyrie brought to that Brooklyn team over the last few months of the season. But that is right, because if they don't have Kyrie to go with LeBron and Anthony Davis, they don't have a team that is good enough to compete. And with LeBron, it's all about titles. They're not good enough without Kyrie Irving. Palinka's got to make that deal.
That one, I agree with you. Finally, if I said the best thing for KD would be to stay in Brooklyn, would that be right or wrong?
That is wrong. There is too much drama in Brooklyn. I think it's too far gone to expect him to come back and for it all to work together, especially with the unknown of Ben Simmons. To me, Greeny, the best fit for Kevin Durant is in Miami. If you get him in that culture alongside Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, that is a place that is built to get the best out of Kevin Durant.
All right. Well, so that's an interesting one. I want to play everybody, for those of you who weren't with us, what Woj said yesterday about the situation with KD and Brooklyn. Let's hear from Woj.
The Nets are still trying to find a deal for Kevin Durant. I think if Kevin Durant came to Brooklyn and said, hey, I've changed my mind, I want to be here, I'm committed to this, well, of course they would want him to stay. But if Kevin Durant's not doing that, you're still trying to trade them. You want players who want to be there.
So Zach Lowe with us this morning as well. Here's the part of this that I find somewhat confusing, Zach. Kevin Durant is a person, and you made this point on our call this morning, Friedel. He lives his entire life on social media. He comments on practically everything. But we haven't heard word one from him on this. Woj reported that he wants a trade. Beyond that, we don't know why. We don't know what the situation is. We don't know what would make him want to stay. So what are the circumstances now in which Kevin Durant stays in Brooklyn? How does that work out here?
Look, I think one of the reasons we haven't heard from Kevin Durant is you're not allowed to publicly request a trade. He probably doesn't want to get fined. But look, what are the circumstances under which he stays? One is inertia, which is what we're seeing right now. The Nets don't have a deal they like, so they're not going to do a deal they don't like. The second one is the scenario Woj threw out yesterday on the show, and I was watching that. And that's what Kevin Durant saying, hey, you know what? I'm good. I want to be here. The drama's passed. Whatever reasons I have are now gone. I want to be with the Nets. I'm not sure that's going to happen. And if it does not happen, if he remains unhappy, if the trade request privately stands, I agree with Adrian that the Nets will eventually trade him, because I don't think either side has an interest in a prolonged war here.
And so, Nick, We have seen KD and Kyrie as sort of a package deal since from the moment that they packaged themselves and went to Brooklyn together. Does that remain? Is there a world in which KD is on the Nets and Kyrie is not?
Only Kevin knows for sure. But, Greeny, I can tell you, having been around that Nets team, that is their dream scenario going into next year. It's keeping Kevin and saying, we're going to build around you. You are our guy. The drama will go away, and it's getting Kyrie elsewhere, whether it's the Lakers or otherwise. And I don't think enough people are giving Kevin enough credit for being perceptive. He saw all that happened last year. He understood all the ramifications. And while he stood behind Kyrie at every turn publicly, I was told repeatedly the relationship is close, but it's not always as close as it appears to be. So there is still hope, certainly, in Brooklyn that they could make it work with Kevin. But nobody knows for sure if he would come back, and nobody knows for sure if he would come back and say, hey, Kyrie's back with me. The question that Kevin Durant is going to have to answer, Greeny, is why he attached the last 3 years, potentially, of his prime to Kyrie Irving. And no matter what happens the rest of this summer and moving forward in the next season, that's the question that will hang with him as his career comes to a close here at some point over the next few seasons.
It's exactly the right point, and it's an interesting one. Zach, give me a final thought on that. That is going to wind up being one of the most impactful and curious choices that any all-time great player has made that I can ever think of.
Yeah, we scrutinize Kevin Durant's choices all the time and say, what would we have done in his shoes? What should he have done? I'm not in the business of telling guys what they should have done. But to Nick's point about the Nets' dream scenario, I would tell you this. I would bet a lot of money that the Nets' dream scenario 3 years ago was signing Kevin Durant by himself without necessarily attaching Kyrie Irving to him. Kyrie Irving was the price of getting Kevin Durant. The Nets happily paid that price. I think at that time in 2019, they would have happily taken KD alone and built the team around him. That option was not presented to them, and so here we are today.
That's a really good point. But that option exists, or at least theoretically exists right now, 3 years later. We'll see if that's the direction this ultimately goes. In the meantime, speaking of NBA superstars, Steph Curry will be on the big stage tomorrow night. It's the 30th annual ESPYs from the Dolby Theater in L.A. It's 8 Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app.
We are welcoming you now to the 2022 Home Run Derby.
Buckle up, folks.
32 shots. What a start to this derby. Rodriguez will knock out the two-time defending champion.
People did not see this coming.
The players showing their appreciation.
This is respect.
And Juan Soto is your 2022 Home Run Derby champion.
What a night it was last night, the Home Run Derby in L.A. And as you saw there at the very end, our own Buster Olney right in the middle of all the action with Juan Soto after he winds up winning the championship last night in what was really a terrific event. Buster, what was your number? It's been a tumultuous, well, it's been an interesting week for Juan Soto in a variety of ways. What was your biggest takeaway from the night and from your conversation with him?
Yeah, that he is certainly running from the conversation about whether or not he's going to be traded, about what exactly he wants after turning down that $440 million offer. In fact, during the day when there was media availability, his agent, Scott Boras, who obviously played a big role in their decision to turn down the contract, stood right by him. I've never seen that, Greeny, in all the time we cover baseball, to have an agent hovering on the shoulder of a player like that. They're just trying to get Juan Soto through these 2 weeks.
And so what should we take from that? If that's something that's unprecedented, and Scott obviously is someone that all baseball fans are familiar with, what does that mean? What does that tell you?
Well, what that means is for the next 2 weeks, all anybody in baseball is going to be talking about is where is Juan Soto going to be traded? And that is the perception of other teams, that the Nationals are going to trade him, that they're motivated to trade him in a deal that could be driven by an ownership situation. The Nationals have been up for sale. The perception is the incoming owners are going to want the outgoing owners to make a Juan Soto trade or sign him one way or the other. And right now it looks like he's not going to sign. So the incoming owners are going to want the Nationals front office to make a deal before the August 2nd trade deadline.
And so who are the likeliest contenders? Where is the likeliest landing spot for a young superstar?
And Greeny, we're very early in this process because we just had the Major League draft on Sunday. But what I'm hearing from other executives is the San Diego Padres, very motivated. They got the prospects to make the deal. The Texas Rangers, perhaps. They've got a lot of resources to spend. They're trying to move forward. Let's talk about the usual suspects, the Yankees and the Dodgers. Both those teams might want a better idea of how much it's going to take to sign Juan Soto going forward before they were to give up prospects. So for me, I've got the Padres at one, got the Cardinals at two because they have a bevy of prospects to offer. And that's what Washington is looking for, major league ready players.
All right, we'll see where it winds up going. We expect his next contract to probably start with a 5, not a 4. Meantime, one more thing I want everybody to see. Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to be the player who is like second from the left here. And oh, when the Buster, when the pyrotechnics went off, that definitely seemed to give him a little bit of a shock. What'd you think?
Yeah, I saw him react that way. Shoot, I was 150 feet away, and I could feel the heat from that. And you could see Acuña, like, wiping down his back, wondering if somehow he was on fire or something like that. The players increasingly backed away from the pyrotechnics as the night went along.
It was a hot night in L.A. all the way around. And again, Juan Soto winds up in the center of all of the heat. Buster, awesome. Thank you, as always. Meanwhile, hope everybody enjoyed the first installment of The Captain Thursday nights, part two of the 7-part docuseries, the unprecedented look into Derek Jeter's life and his career. It's 9 Eastern Thursday night on ESPN and ESPN+. Coming up, Roll Tide. Nick Saban searching for championship number 8. The legendary Alabama coach joins me live from SEC Media Day as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are back on Get Up and delighted to welcome Nick Saban, the legendary coach from Alabama, who's joining us here from SEC Media Days. His team looking to rebound after a tough loss to Georgia in the national championship game. Despite the loss, they entered this season as the preseason favorites to win it all. And a big part of the reason for that is their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Bryce Young, the junior looking to join Archie Griffin as the only players ever to win the Heisman twice, if he's able to do it. And, of course, for the coach, he's looking for his 8th national championship. It would be his 7th at Alabama. All other active FBS head coaches combined have 5 national championships. And we are, again, delighted to welcome Nick Saban, who is live with us from SEC Media Day. Coach, we always appreciate this. Thank you very much. And I would love to be cheerful here, but these are sort of strangely tumultuous times in your sport. So first off, in a big picture, what is your reaction to all of the realignment that we are seeing across the sport right now?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, mega conferences may be something that, you know, we all have to deal with in the future. I think, you know, probably, you know, money probably drives a lot of this. I can't blame people for that. It's sort of above my pay grade, though, to know, you know, what we should do as a league in the SEC or what any other league should do, but I think as we progress forward, the mega conference, you know, will create, you know, a little more of a caste system maybe in college football, and I think everybody's got to decide if that's the direction we really want to go or not.
Well, I think your opinion is as important as any. Is that a good change or a bad change in the long run and the big picture for a sport that you've basically dedicated your whole life to?
Well, I think probably for the haves, which obviously at Alabama we're one of the haves, it's probably a good thing. For some of the have-nots, some of the, you know, sort of, I don't want to know what you would say, second half of each league, you know, maybe it won't work out as well. Maybe there's some system like, you know, the pro soccer league in Europe where you can, you know, play your way into it. I don't know how it all works out. I know that one thing that we've always tried to do is keep competitive balance in college athletics. And I think this could affect that, you know, significantly for, you know, some people in college football.
I saw you talking about that passionately in a really fascinating interview you did with our friend Greg McElroy on his podcast. Relative to all the change in affiliations and in traditional rivalries, the geographic challenges that are being presented here, what would you say is your biggest concern?
I really don't have a concern because, you know, what I've learned to do through the years is, you know, whatever happens, how can we adapt to that so that we can maintain, you know, sort of a standard of excellence that's going to help us be competitive on a consistent basis. So that's what I try to stay focused on. I think that's my job, and I think that's the most important thing we can do for our players and our program.
That's fair. The other big piece of this, of course, is name, image, and likeness. These two things are coming upon the sport at the same time, and they're both causing all of this seismic change. How has NIL, as it is known, already changed the way college football operates?
Well, you know, first of all, I think name, image, and likeness is a good thing for players. And I'm all for players having the opportunity to use their name, image, and likeness to make money. But I do think, you know, right now we don't have a lot of guardrails, you know, sort of around this. And I do think, you know, you go back to that same old thing that we've always tried to do in college athletics is to create a competitive balance that is fair for everyone. I think transparency in how some of these things is done is probably important. And I think protection for the players, you know, is really important in this because you're going to have a lot of people, third parties, trying to get between the player and the money. And right now we don't have any protection for the players when it comes to that, sort of like the NFL Players Association does with, you know, their agent system. So all these things are challenges that, you know, we're going to have to try to adapt to in the future. And I'm sure we have a lot of good people that'll try to do a good job of creating the changes that are necessary to, you know, maintain some standard of competitive balance in college athletics.
At the end of the day, it is about, or it certainly should be about, what is the best for the people, the players, these young men that you're talking about. What questions and concerns now are you hearing from them and their families as you are recruiting and coaching these guys?
I think the big thing is, you know, how this is being used in recruiting. Because, A, it's not supposed to be used in recruiting, but a lot of promises are being made. And where I think, you know, high school players should make a decision about where they go to college based on, you know, how can they develop value for their future. That's why we all went to college. You know, your personal development, developing a career off the field, how you do academically, the support that you get so that you can prepare yourself for life, you know, after football, and what kind of career can you develop as a football player. So, you know, that really has a lot more value long term, and that's what we try to stay focused on to make sure we're doing a good job of that for our players so that they can be more successful in life. So some of these things can be looked at somewhat as impediments to making choices and decisions that are going to help you do that. If you're not, like, looking down the road and not being short-sighted. So I'm concerned about how this impacts and affects recruiting more than anything else, because these are promises that are made that, you know, who knows whether they get, you know, they really come to fruition or not.
All right, obviously, this is a conversation that will continue long into the future. Let's talk about your team, and in particular, your quarterback. We mentioned Bryce Young won the Heisman last year. In what ways can he be better this season?
Well, I think Bryce had an outstanding year last year, and I think we need to make our team better around him. I think he's a tremendous playmaker. He's a good leader. He's smart. He does a great job of, you know, preparing himself for games. But, you know, Bryce is also a perfectionist, and if you ask him, you know, he'd probably say, you know, there was a couple times last year where I could have been a little more consistent, and terms of getting the reads right, throwing the ball the right place. But this guy's a great competitor. He's a great person. Couldn't ask for a better player to lead your team. So, you know, we're excited about the prospects that, you know, he gives our team. I think the focus for us as coaches is to make sure the team around him is going to allow him to play at a high level.
And Coach, I'm old enough to remember when you were known as a defensive guy. Now it feels like I look around and half the NFL has a quarterback from Alabama all of a sudden. What is it like for you to see all of them and all of their success?
Well, it's great. You know, I think, you know, early on we learned that it was hard to win on defense in college football. You could have a dominant defensive team, but if you couldn't score points against the really good teams, that would be a problem. And when we made the change to be a more wide open offense, we were able to attract, you know, quarterbacks of a caliber that really has helped us, you know, become one of the best offensive schools in the country. And it's enhanced their development as well as their opportunities to be successful in the NFL. And I'm really proud of the fact that the last three quarterbacks that we have are all starters in the NFL, and the one that we have now won the Heisman Trophy. So I think quarterback is, football is a great team game except for that position. And if you have a good guy at that position, it can really help you be successful.
All right, and then one more thing, and for many of us, this is by far the most important question. With all the ways that the business of your sport has changed, how have all of these additional pressures of this job impacted your golf game?
My golf game has never been something to talk about. So I do think that, you know, some of the rules that we have now, like June used to be, you know, a month where you could play a little golf, do your job, have camps, develop your team. But, you know, now with the recruiting rules as they are, we worked every day in June. But we still try to play a little in July when we're on vacation, and we're still pretty consistent in our ability to lose money.
Coach, it is always such a pleasure. Thank you very much. Best of luck as you get this season underway. We'll see you down the road.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
That's a great Nick Saban with us here again in search of championship number 8. As we continue, speaking of championships, out to Hollywood we go. The Lakers, are they running it back? Will this be a sequel for this trio? And can it work? That's next.